is Jean Carragher, President of Capstone Marketing. I am delighted to be speaking today with Ron Baker, owner and founder of the VeraSage Institute, a think tank dedicated to helping professional knowledge firms bury the billable hour and trash timesheets. For the past year and a half, Ron has been a radio talk show host of The Soul of Enterprise, Business, and the Knowledge Economy, broadcast live every Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel and the Voice America Variety Channel. Ron has written 7 books, including The Professional's Guide to Value Pricing and The Firm of the Future. He has been named by Accounting Today as one of the top 100 most influential people in accounting 11 times. I could go on. Check out Ron's LinkedIn profile for more and follow him on Twitter at Ronald Baker. Ron, welcome to the Capstone Conversation.
Thanks, Jean. Thrilled to be here.
Ron, your mission is to once and for all bury the billable hour and timesheet in the professions. How is that going?
I can honestly say that the end of the billable hour is not within reach, but it's within sight. We have definitely in the last, say, 20 years put the billable hour totally on the defense. And to paraphrase Oscar Wilde, the billable hour has no enemies, but is intensely disliked by its friends.
So do you see, using value pricing and burying the billable hour, trashing the timesheet, do you see more firms embracing this pricing model? And why, I guess maybe what's in common of the firms that are embracing this pricing model?
Probably leadership, enlightened leadership more than anything, recognizing that the world has changed. And I think the other big thing in the last 5 years certainly has been the cloud and all the technological innovations that have come down the pike surrounding the cloud, like the apps and all of that. And what that is enabling accounting firms to do is do more work in less time. Well, if your business model is I sell time and you can crank out more work in less time, then you're cutting your revenue and your profitability. And that has been a big push behind value pricing, I'd say, in the last 3 to 5 years, where now all the software publishers are totally behind the value pricing movement, whether we're talking about Intuit, Sage, Xero, CCH, you name it, they've all given their imprimatur to value pricing.
So it's important then that firm leadership see examples of how this is working in other firms.
Yes.
So that they can perhaps visualize how it might work for them.
Yes, unfortunately, accountants tend to be like penguins on an iceberg that wait for the first one to jump in. Everybody wants data, right? Give me data on how other firms have done it. Well, how would we ever get innovation if we waited for data, right?
Right.
I mean, good thing people are out there like Google and Apple that take risks before there's any data available
to confirm
anything.
Exactly. There aren't a lot of first adopters, right?
Not at all. But that said, we have literally thousands of firms now across all professional sectors, so not just CPAs, but law firms, IT firms, consulting firms, actuarial firms, advertising agencies, which, by the way, are more mired in the billable hour than even accounting and law firms. We have thousands of examples now of firms across the world adopting this model of no timesheets and 100% value pricing.
And I was going to ask you, so do you see trends in different parts of the world?
Yes, definitely. Mostly I work in the English-speaking world.
Mm-hmm.
I've Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the UK, although I have done work in Latin America. In fact, I'm going to Colombia next week to work with a law firm that wants, in fact, the biggest law firm in Colombia that wants to adopt this model. So it is definitely, it, it it is a worldwide trend. Some countries are, you know, maybe farther ahead than others. Right now, I'd say, depending on the sector you're looking at, certainly America leads in the adoption of this. And I would say Australia is pretty close behind. They're very innovative in Australia and New Zealand.
Mm-hmm. Right. What or how can marketers or business developers play a role in this value pricing initiative for their firms?
I think marketers are a critical part or component of this, because when I talk to marketers about pricing, I'm preaching to the choir, right?
Mm-hmm.
They get it. They understand that pricing is one of the four P's of marketing. So they absolutely understand the importance of it. That's why I said recently at a Winning is Everything conference that I think marketers are saving the profession, because they're bringing marketing savvy into the profession, not only just building brands and reputation, but also making sure that firms maintain their pricing integrity, which is just as important as maintaining your brand integrity.
Right. You knew that I was going to ask you about that, because I did hear about your comment about marketers saving the profession. So you've talked about, you know, marketing savvy and branding. I believe our profession, our accounting marketing profession, has come a long way over these last, you know, three or four decades. We've still got a long way to go. What are the qualities of the marketers or business developers that you see having an impact on their firms in this way related to pricing and the strategy? Because there are a lot of marketers out there who are not involved in that aspect of their firms at all. So what are the successful ones doing?
Right, and that's a great point, because a lot of firms will not turn over the pricing power to anybody but the partners. And quite frankly, two-thirds, maybe more, maybe three-quarters of people in firms that are doing pricing right now are absolutely terrible at it.
Mm-hmm.
And that responsibility needs to be stripped from them. I mean, if I was a lousy auditor, a firm wouldn't put me, you know, on audits, right? They'd move me to tax or consulting,
mm-hmm.
someplace where I have strengths. But yet we let partners price who are terrible at it. And it's comical, because everybody knows they're terrible at it, which is why we're a big advocate of establishing a value council and appointing a chief value officer. Now, I thought the natural persons or people for part of those roles, whether CVO or part of the value council, would be the marketers. But that necessarily has not been the case in a lot of professional firms.
Mm-hmm.
It's still partners. Maybe it's people from the team. But they just, for some reason that I'm not clear on, they don't like to invest that much authority in the marketers.
Yeah, that could be a whole other conversation.
I'm sure
we have come a long way, but in many instances, the marketers are not being utilized to their full potential.
They're not. I hate to say it.
For whatever reason.
Yeah, they're second-class citizens. And, you know, part of that is, part of it is just because you're a second-class citizen if you're not a partner in any professional firm. But I also think, to give the partner some break, or the profession some break, is we're still babies when it comes to marketing. I mean, it was illegal 40 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't even market. I mean, we're still in the infancy stage of marketing, and I think it's going to take on significantly more importance as this profession continues to mature.
Tell me more about that.
Well, you know, the famous Bates decision in 1977,
mm-hmm.
where the Supreme Court ruled that professional firms can market, it was part of not only the Supreme Court, but it was also just part of the whole deregulation movement, the FTC, and, you know, we deregulated the airlines and the trucking and finance and that type of thing, railroads. And that's when we started to move into marketing as a profession. It was for the first time legal to even, you know, to do it. And then I think it took several years after that to get out inside marketers, you know, in working in firms. And now, of course, there's the Association of Accounting Marketers,
mm-hmm.
and probably other groups out there. And I just think that as, you know, if you look at what Peter Drucker says about marketing, and I love this, he says, because its purpose is to create a customer, the business enterprise has two, and only two, basic functions, marketing and innovation. Marketing and innovation produce results. All the rest are costs. So the only two functions that matter are marketing and innovation. That's it. The everything else that we do, accounting and you know, bookkeeping and all, it's all for naught because it's only marketing and innovation that actually creates results. I don't think most CPAs believe that, but it is emphatically true. And I think as you know, these technological changes happen more and more as marketers become more sophisticated in firms, that someday soon CPAs will see the light and recognize mm-hmm. that marketing is critical and adds
right.
tremendous value.
And there are certainly firms that have already gotten that message and are doing a fabulous job with their marketing and innovation. But unfortunately, you know, that's still in the minority of firms. So do you feel that CPA firms can use value pricing as a differentiator, something to set them apart?
Unfortunately, yes. if I had it my way, this would be normal practice. It would be ho-hum. Everybody be doing mm-hmm. it. You wouldn't get any marketing. You would have to go back and differentiate based on things that mattered, like specialization or verticals or expertise, whatever. But yeah, right now I think the window is wide open for massive differentiation through better pricing and just giving the customer certainty. You know, this idea of the billable hour and billing people in arrears is crazy because we as consumers, just as human beings, want to know the price of something before we buy it.
Mm-hmm.
None of us would fly in an airline that tried to charge us $4 a minute. We'd laugh them, you know, we'd laugh them out of business. And we're subject to the same laws of economics and consumer psychology and buying psychology as every other business. And the billable hour violates every one of those laws, and that's why it needs to go.
Right. Right, because it would all be in the description of the experience that a client would be having with a firm, and the value pricing model can be part of that. And when it's described in terms of what the client is going to experience, that absolutely would be a differentiator.
It would. In fact, Gene, I'll give you some inside info on this. When I first started doing this in my firm, when I practiced in 1989, after I left Pete Mark and started my own practice, and was responsible for the first time in my life for actually billing customers, I realized very, very quickly that the billable hour was a lousy customer experience because customers would come in or they'd call quite angrily and say, why didn't you tell me it was going to cost this much? And my only response to that was, I spent the time. Well, that's a stupid answer.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an irrelevant answer to the customer. It's like, you know, it's like when a friend or a loved one has a baby, you want to see the baby, you don't want to hear about the labor pains. And yet our profession not only focuses on the labor pains, we measure them in 6-minute contractions and then bill in arrears for them. And the customer cares about the baby. So I said, we've got to figure out a better way to do this. Why don't other businesses, because I had lots of business clients, why don't other businesses have this problem? Well, duh, they all price up front. So if the customer doesn't like the price, you learn about it before you do the work, not after.
Mm, right, instead of having to go through the hassle of getting the money from them or determining how much you're going to write off.
So the purpose of that was I came to value pricing. I came to this whole thing not from the marketing side of it or even the economic mm-hmm. side of it. I came to it from the customer experience side, trying to improve customer service and customer experience,
mm-hmm.
and it worked dramatically. And that's when I started to get into the economics and the marketing behind it.
Right. You know, that's interesting, this whole customer experience trend, because I have a couple of colleagues whose roles have changed within their firms, and now they're client experience officers or whatever their title is.
Yes.
So it's going to be very interesting to see how those roles evolve and what it means to the firms as well as to the clients.
And that's exactly the point I was trying to make about how we are becoming more sophisticated. We are seeing the light. and marketers are having dramatic impact, like creating new roles, like the second CEO or CXO, as they say, the customer experience officer, and more firms are adopting the CVO role as well, the customer value officer. So I think trends like that are phenomenal. And, you know, you're probably familiar with the Experience Economy book by Joseph Pine. And I think James Gilmore, it's a fantastic book. We actually interviewed Joe Pine on our radio show. And he's in the book, they have this progression of economic value where you go from goods to services to experiences, but then the top of the value chain in their world is transformations, where the customer is the product. You're actually transforming the customer. You're not selling them an experience. You're actually moving them from A to B, from where they are to where they want to be. And I thought ever since that book came out in 1997, I've thought CPAs are poised at the top of this curve. Mm-hmm. We make transformations. We change people's lives. We help them retire sooner. We help them get their kids into college. We plan their estates. We plan their legacy. Their legacy after they're dead and gone. I mean, how important is that to Bill Gates or Warren Buffett? Their legacy. You're not just providing services at that point. You're touching people's souls. And that's not a commodity, and that's incredibly valuable, and we do that. And the problem with the billable hour is a professional is somebody who's paid to take responsibility for producing an outcome and not delivering a series of tasks. Mm-hmm. The billable hour turns everything into a series of tasks, and I think it does so at the expense of focusing on that outcome, that transformation.
Right. Right. That makes complete sense. You know, and from another angle, it's giving some talented marketers another career path.
Yes.
You know, the two that I'm thinking of, Lisa Gill and Mitch Reno, and as a matter of fact, I believe they're doing a session at AIM about these new roles. They're longtime marketers in their firms, so they know their firms and they know their people and they know their clients. So they are poised to add value, you know, pardon the pun, to their firms and that client experience because of what they're bringing to the table and just looking at their firms and the client base in a different way.
Right, right.
Very exciting.
That is. That's phenomenal. You know, I read about BMW has a chief experience officer as well that just tracks the whole, entire customer experience from pre-ownership to ownership to post-ownership to, you know, what makes somebody trade in their car and buy another BMW or buy another brand. I mean, there's somebody thinking about that at an incredibly deep level. You don't see that much in any professional firm, and we need that.
Right. Yeah, that could be another call as well. the research that's not happening within the profession, too, that would help CPA firm leaders and partners make better decisions.
Absolutely.
All right. So we've talked a lot about value pricing and the billable hour and trashing the timesheet. Is that the most pressing issue in the accounting profession, or is there something else that you feel is more pressing?
I get challenged on that a lot, that people, and especially by other consultants, that will tell me that it's not the most pressing issue. However, it is. And I used to not think that it was until I made the link that this isn't just a change in pricing. This is a business model change. And a business model is how your firm creates value for your customers and how you capture that value. So creating value and capturing value, and the captures where the pricing comes in, is critically important. Well, if you move to a value pricing model, and more importantly, if you get rid of the timesheet, the way you work, it's not just the way you price. It's the way you work. It's the way you communicate. It's the way you market. It touches everything about your firm. It all changes. And I think it makes you more focused on the outcome to the customer rather than series of tasks that everything's kind of, you know, atomized in now with the billable hour. We're focusing on adding more value to the customer relationship. That's going to create happier customers. That's going to make for happier teams. And it's going to make for more profitability, not only for the customer, but for the firm as well. So I do think that it is certainly one of the most pressing issues. I mean, people say the cloud, the technology, succession, maybe the talent issue, you know, getting more people into the profession. I'm not saying that those things aren't important. They certainly are. But I think at the coal face, on the thing that you could impact the quickest in your firm to make a dramatic impact would be to change your business model and get rid of the timesheet. And I have to say, Gene, it's the timesheet that's the cancer. It's not the billable hour. The billable hour is the symptom. It's the timesheet. The timesheet is what keeps accountants mired in the mentality that they sell time. I joined the profession in 1984, and I was taught I sold time and I kept a timesheet. It's now a generation or so later, and we're still teaching these young kids the exact same thing. When are you going to stop and recognize this world has changed?
Right.
Young kids recognize it. They know they're knowledge workers. They see Uber. They see WhatsApp being sold for, you know, billions of dollars with five employees, and they know that value can be created, and it's not measured by time. Time is the wrong measuring stick to measure a CPA's value. It's like plunging a ruler into an oven to determine its temperature. It's just a nonsensical measuring device for anything.
You know, let me ask you one question before we end, and it is related to some things that you were just saying. I've been hearing a lot about new firm startups, and, you know, they're not necessarily these larger firms, but firms that are intentionally remaining smaller. Are you hearing that? And if so, do you find these newer firms run by younger professionals embracing value billing more?
Yes. I mean, certainly if you look at, like, Jason Blummer's group, Thrive All, if you look at people like Jodi Paydar and her followers and, you know, people that try and emulate her, they're all either taken over their father's firm or whatever, or started their own after coming out of a bigger firm. And they've completely changed the business model, not only embracing the cloud with alacrity, but also embracing the concept of no timesheets. I mean, nobody likes timesheets. It's the biggest joke. If you talk to anybody who's left public accounting and gone into industry, and you call them up and you say, how do you like your job? First thing out of their mouth is, I love it. I don't have to do a timesheet. The rest of the business world doesn't do timesheets because the rest of the business world, that's not their business model. They don't think mentally that they're selling time.
Right.
And I think that's why we need to do it, not just to make firms better, but to make posterity better. I don't think anybody joins this profession to bill the most hours or have their value and their self-worth measured in six-minute units. I really do believe the only place time spent should matter is in prison.
It has been a pleasure talking to you, and I'm happy to hear that burying the billable hour and trashing the timesheet is within sight.
It is.
As you said earlier, right? It's within sight.
It is within sight. There is light at the end of our tunnel vision.
Awesome. We've been talking today with Ron Baker, VeraSage founder and radio talk show host. Ron, thanks for your time today.
Thank you, Gene.